Good morning. Great, it's good to be here this morning, even if it is a brief stopover. It's always nice to be back in Wallingford and to be with you. It's really encouraging seeing everyone stand up who's involved in some form of discipleship ministry in the church. There were more people than I had expected. As people slowly stood up, and that's an encouragement, I think, for the church, and it links very well into what I'm speaking about. And Simon emailed me and asked, he gave me a couple of topics and asked me to choose one on our chairs. Why do we need missionaries? Which I thought was quite an easy question to answer, having been what some people would call a missionary, until I started preparing and I thought this is very complex. And so I will give it my best shot to answer the question of why do we need missionaries? And I was fortunate that just before I started preparing, I got sent the first set of readings for my college course. And so some of them have filtered into this. And I apologize if some of what I share paints an idealistic view of what church could perhaps be like, because we all know that the reality is that we are human and we are broken people in need of saving and sanctifying, in need of salvation and continued salvation from the sins that we commit. As I mentioned earlier, I'm now living in France, being a Manny and studying while working for Scripture Union behind the scenes, and I'll share a bit about Scripture Union in the middle of this sermon and hopefully use it as an example. But before I do that, I want to look at what is mission, and I've got a remote here for the... It's in my pocket. There we go. What is mission? Or not. There we go. And for many people, it has different understandings of what it could mean. If you were to ask the general public and you said, what is mission? They might go, it's something that spies or the military go and do. They go and do a mission. Some people might say, it's a trip when you go to some country and look after children for a week, or whatever. Others might say, it's a lifestyle, a way of doing life as a believer. And so I'm going to try and define mission for the purpose of what I am talking about. And whether it might be something that you are perhaps not used to, or it might be something that you go, actually, no, I knew all of that before. If you are the latter, just bear with me. And for me, mission is described in the Bible in a number of ways. One of the songs, I wasn't going to mention this, but one of the songs had the phrase seek and save. Jesus came to seek and save. And that's, if my memory serves me right, the parable of the lost sheep. That's one of the comments, is that Jesus is here to seek and to save the lost. Seeking and saving the lost. That is part of mission. God created people, right as we heard in the clip before, he created us good. Very good in his image, and we are fallen people. Mission is the process of God restoring his people to how he created them to be. We see God is a God who rescues. Throughout the scriptures, there are so many accounts of God calling someone, the person messing up, and God restoring them again, and they mess up, and God restores them and saves them again. We see the people of Israel do that. We see the prophets and the judges who come, and the reason they come is to try and restore God's people back to him. We see Jesus come and he walks on earth and he lives and he dies and rises again, and he does that to save God's people. This is mission. The act of saving people for eternity, in my understanding, is mission. And I think there's no account clearer than Jesus and his actions to highlight what mission is. And because it's a thematic preach, I don't have one scripture. I've got a couple of scriptures that I will bounce through. Can you? Yeah. And so first we're going to look at Acts 1, 7 to 8, and this is Jesus speaking before he ends up ascending into heaven, which I would have quite liked to have seen. That would have been pretty epic, seeing this guy rise up like a Hollywood blockbuster or something. And it says, he said to them, it is not for you to know the times or the dates the Father has set by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes to you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. You will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. We have the Spirit to do that. This is what Jesus said before he left his followers, the final act, or the final almost commission. This invitation to be witnesses of Christ, the Savior, the one who saves. This is a commission that he left for his followers, and I believe that he has left for us. We often talk about Matthew 28, and we'll come on to that. And it talks about go and make disciples in every nation. Here, go and be witnesses. Go and be my witnesses. Go and be witnesses of Jesus. Locally, in Jerusalem, and the area, Judea, to the ends of the earth. For us, what does it look like to be a witness of Christ? What does it look like to be that signpost? Whether that is in our locality, whether that is on your street with your neighbors, or whether that is in the ends of the earth, whether that's in Kenya or South Africa, or wherever else you might find yourselves. For me, the focal point isn't the location, it's the action of being a witness. And that is mission. They are witnesses of the hope and restoration, the healing and the wholeness which Christ brings, which ultimately points to eternity with him. Being a witness of whom Christ is pointing people to a possible eternity with him upon their salvation. I was with the Goths last night and we were chatting and we were talking about, I can't remember what we were talking about, but anyway, we got on to talking about how Jesus did just this ministry and not everyone came to faith for it. He healed people and not everyone acknowledged that they were healed. He healed the 10 lepers and only one came back. And actually, as we go and witness, our job isn't to force people to a point of salvation, but our job is to provide the invite and to reveal Christ to them. And some of those people won't ever be harvested. Some of those people won't ever acknowledge who Jesus is. But we are still called to go and be that witness. Then John 20, 21 to 23, again, Jesus said, "Peace be with you." In this passage is when he appears in the locked room after his death. He says, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." And with that, he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone's sins, their sins are forgiven. And if you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven." He calls his followers to be a witness, and here, The wording in the English translations is very clear. Is as the Father has sent me, we see Jesus as a sent, as a missionary, and so on, here to create acts which aid people towards salvation. We see Jesus is commissioning his followers. He is going, as I have been sent, you are sent too. And this is where our understanding of our role on earth needs to perhaps be developed. That where we are now is not our final destination. the ideal of being in the world and not of the world. We are born in the world, but we are not to spend eternity in the world. It needs to be developed. We are here to draw people towards God, not because this is where we will be for eternity, because we will be with Christ for eternity if we believe in him. In the same way Jesus was sent to earth, we might not have been sent to earth like that, but we are on earth as a temporary measure in the same way Jesus was. After Jesus' death, he went to the Father. When we die, we have eternity and we spend that with the Father. We are sent, in a sense, to spend time in this temporary space to point others to Christ. I mentioned how people might go on military missions, and sometimes it might feel weird to go, I am a missionary in my home space, in my hometown, in my home country. Amanda choosing to serve the church for a year. That might be a challenge. And I was in a shopping center in France. I was looking for a piece of ribbon in a craft shop. And you're in the shop and then you just see this, you know, four or five soldiers just walk past, fully armed. And you go, how must it feel for those soldiers to be sent on a mission by their government to a shopping center down the road? That must be such a surreal feeling, to go on mission in the community in which you know and love and perhaps have grown up in. And I think for many of us, we don't get called to mission and to go and call people to salvation in other countries and other spaces. For many of us, it's in the very space where we are born and raised. Another example of that is in South Africa. Gangsterism in Cape Town has gone through the roof, and it's gotten to the point where they've sent the army into some of the communities to try and manage gangsterism. And you go, these soldiers have grown up in the communities. They've been trained and they've been equipped, and now they're back in those communities on mission. And I think for us, as Christians, there is a space where we need to be trained, be developed, and remember that even if we have not changed geographical location, as we have become a Christ follower, we have become a sent person. We are not just sent when we move somewhere else geographically, but as we acknowledge whom Christ is and as we get to know him better and we receive the Holy Spirit and as we witness for him, we are a sent person. In Matthew 28, 18 to 20 says, then Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I will be, and surely I am with you always to the end of the age. We are to be witnesses and we are sent people. Jesus has commissioned us, and here we have that commission of all authorities being given to Christ. And he's telling us to go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing and teaching people to obey everything that Christ has commanded us to do. If we talk about mission being revealing to people a God that is a God who wants to bring people to salvation, a God who wants to restore, who wants to bring redemption, who wants to bring wholeness to people, but most of all, forgiveness of sins and eternity with him. Making disciples of all nations is not just going, how do I help my life group or my cell group or other Christians that I know to get to know Jesus better. Making disciples is slowly revealing the truth of Christ and God and his saving message to those that we interact with on a daily basis. For me, disciple making is more than just a quick hit and run gospel. And the people who have had the biggest impacts on my faith and on my life are not the people who have a random conversation with me on a bus or wherever I might find myself. It's those people who walk day by day alongside me. And so as we are called to be disciple makers in the very spaces that we find ourselves in, what does it look like alongside work colleagues to reveal who God is to them? Who brings some of that restoration? Who brings hope? Who brings healing? Who brings comfort? The image of light and darkness is powerful, and I liked the video clip at the beginning. We can be light bringers. We can be light bearers who bring light into the darkness that people live. And I think that might be a good image to link with the idea of being witnesses. What does it mean to be a witness? It means bringing God's light into the lives of others. We are witnesses and we are sent people. And we are to be disciple makers. And it's very easy to talk about this in an idealistic way. And it's very easy to do this if you are a career ministry person, as a pastor or a theologian or whatever, because you kind of go, ah, tick, it's my job, done. But in reality, it's not that easy. The family that I'm working for and looking after the two boys in the interviews, they said, oh, we see you've done lots of Christian stuff. We're not really into that. We don't want you to talk about Jesus to our children. And going, how do I reveal who God is in this space where I have been forbidden to openly share about Jesus? What does it look like for me to be a witness of Christ in that space? And I think for many of us in our spaces of work, we're not allowed to share openly. And so how does it look to bring life and light into the lives of people who need it so desperately? How does it look to bring that healing and restoration? And how do we make sure our faith is not something that is only dependent on church and being an identity when we are part of our small groups and part of the congregation on a Sunday morning and part of Holiday Club? How do we make sure that our identity in Christ is not just linked to church, but it's linked to Christ himself? Don't know if any of you are familiar with Jonathan Edwards and his story of when he retired, he stopped believing in Jesus. And some of the comments around that were actually his faith was so linked to his lifestyle that when his lifestyle changed and he stopped being an athlete, that his faith was lost as well. And I think as we are working and as we are part of church and doing life together, we need to avoid a faith that is linked just to a lifestyle, but it's something core to our very identity and very persons. And I mention this because when we look at mission in practice, it can very much look like activity and misses identity. There's a quote by a guy called Howard Snyder, and I don't know who he is or where he stands, but I read it and I thought it was quite profound. And it says, "Kingdom people seek first the kingdom of God and its justice. Church people often put church work above concerns of justice, mercy, and truth. Church people think about how to get people into church. Kingdom people think about how to get the church into the world. Church people worry that the world might change the church. Kingdom people work to see the church change the world. And I think this is quite an idealistic quote, and I think he's referring far more to local church culture than he is to the global church, and he's not trying to undermine the church. Instead, he's trying to encourage his church and going, actually, yes, the world is changing. I saw a clip on Twitter this morning of at the proms, and one of the singers during Rule Britannia started waving a LGBT flag, and the comments in Twitter were fairly fiery from all sides and all angles, disagreeing and agreeing, and going, there are so many current issues that the church is concerned to get involved in because it might change the church. And when we look at our faith with a heritage of thousands of years in Christ who walked 2,000 years ago, us as Christians and Christ followers can't separate our faith from our identity, and we can't separate our faith from the way we interact with society. It can't just be a pocket thing that we get out when we get home from work and put away again when we leave in the morning. It can't be something that we get out on a Sunday morning as we journey to go to church. Oh, I've not been a very good Christian this week. Let's put some Christian music on in the car as we go. And then on Monday, you're listening to Radio 1 again. It's not something we can, you know, we can't do that. We need to, as people who are called to be witnesses, as we are called to be sent people, as we are called to be disciple makers, we need to unpack what it means for us to be Christ followers in a changing world, and how our faith can impact the lives of people in that world. We are not trying to make a museum for Jesus, but we are trying to create a movement to see God's kingdom in this world. And as we kingdom build, and this idea of the church being kingdom people to see the church change the world, this, I think, sums up beautifully some of the work that I finished off doing in South Africa. One of the things of children's ministry training, and I've shared about this previously, the reason I left when I did was because we'd planned a children's ministry training, and I didn't want to miss it. And so I selfishly stayed a few days later to be a part of that, because those trainings, and when we're working with churches, we were sharing a message of going, how can we be witnesses? How can we be sent people to the communities of Cape Town? How can we be disciple makers with children and young people? Which is a narrative that not a lot of people share about. And encouraging local churches in outreach, in communities where children often aren't valued, and where gangs do a better form of discipleship and mentoring than the church. And they groom children, and children end up in gangs from the age of 10, 11, 12, because they find their security and identity in a gang when they should be finding it in a church. And you go, what does it look like for us to be missional on our very doorsteps? What does it look like for us to be so explicit about the gospel and justice and restoration and wholeness which Jesus seeks for his people to have in the way that we work? We had someone come and share about sports ministry and going, what does sports and the gospel look like? I did a session on children and technology and going, how do we help children and technology point towards Jesus? What does it look like for a child to engage with God while they're posting photos on Instagram? What does it look like for us to support children as they do outreach with their friends through social media? We had people share about how can we as children's ministry leaders and Sunday school teachers help churches to engage parents in discipleship and discipling their own children. My understanding of parenting is that parenting is discipleship. And so how is churches, can we do that in a way that is missional? Not just in a personal faith that we keep behind closed doors, but in a faith that impacts the immediate communities in which we find ourselves. Our faith, yes, it is a personal thing, but it's not a private thing. It is something that we must share. We started, we had a team from the UK come out, and we partnered with a couple of churches in Port Elizabeth and in Cape Town to do some creative missions outreach, aiding the church to build a footprint in their community. Not doing anything special, literally taking a soccer ball out into the park and chatting with some people on the streets, taking some sandwiches out to people who are homeless. But in a way which enabled the church to say, we know we've not been on the scene lately, but we're here. We want to start a conversation with you. We want you to experience the hope and healing and restoration that, that God brings. Through camping and holiday clubs, we supported people who were working with children day in, day out. We had schools would bring children to camps with full Christian programs, where a teacher would faithfully pray and work with the same children year in, year out. And we would support and encourage that teacher through these camps. And then what I'm still involved in is developing staff and volunteers locally in a way that is missional. Not in just a way of, this is how you get the job done, but in a way that is enabling them to enable the church. And exploring what does it look like, not just for me to run a Sunday school class. What does it look like for me to do that in a way that helps enable the child to go out and share their faith? If I'm doing schools work, what does it look like for me to enable those children to go and be ministers of their faith? And so we are writing that training as we speak, and the emphasis of it is about those children and young people across South Africa being able to go and share their faith, because the staff and volunteers linked to SU who are working with them know how to do it, knows how to enable them, knows how to commission them and send them out. As the Father sent Jesus, Jesus has sent us. And as we disciple others, our role is to enable people to further in their faith. A clear display of growth of faith is when people start to share their faith with others. It's not something for a chosen few, but it is something that is key to the core of our faith. If we believe who Jesus is and what he says and what he does, we can't dismiss the parts about sharing faith. Luke 4 talks about how Jesus came to bring sight to the blind, hope to the hopeless, liberate the captives. That is our role as Christ followers in our communities. It is not just for Simon or for Amanda or for Esther or for me. But if you sit here knowing Jesus personally, it is your role to play. And it's not just your role to play on a Friday evening if you get asked to volunteer at Rock. It's a role to play daily. Part of our identity as a Christ follower is a minister and a missionary for Christ. I did have a look on the internet before I left France for lots of little mirrors, because I was going to give some mirrors out and ask you all to hold them up and look at yourselves. Why do we need missionaries? We need missionaries because Jesus is the only way to eternity. And people need to know that. But my understanding of missionary and why I don't call myself a missionary is that I think every person who has a relationship with Jesus is a missionary. We are everyday missionaries. A missionary is simply someone who does a mission, and we are all called to do the mission, not just a select few. Some of us might be chosen to go to exotic places. Some of us might get chosen to go to Slough. But the idea of doing mission, bringing salvation to people, restoring God's people with God, that is a call for each of us who believe in Jesus. The world is broken and needs restoration. Jesus is the only offer of full restoration. We can do social action, we can run Cap Money Course, we can do all manner of things, but unless people come to know Jesus, they won't ever fully be restored. And He is the only way to eternity. And why did God institute the church? Not for the church to worry about how far the chairs are apart from each other or the color of the carpet, but He sent the church to do His mission. How many people are there? There's about 80 people here. And as we come into land, I was thinking, what would it look like for a town of the size of Wallingford to have 80 missionaries active in the town? If they're missionaries that are living, breathing, walking witnesses sent by Jesus, what would that look like in a town and in a community? And then I thought, here we are, we're a church of about 80 people. There may be a couple of hundred Christians who live in Wallingford in the vicinity. That's how many missionaries there are here. You are sent. You are sent by WBC. You are sent by Christ to do mission and be missionaries in your community on a daily basis. And if you don't quite know how that looks, I'm sure Simon or others will be happy to mentor you through that. And if you think, actually, I need to learn how to live a radical life of faith, then speak up and ask for assistance to do that. For some of us, we are explicitly called to full-time career ministry, such as being pastors. But all of us are called to full-time ministry, being Christ followers. Can I pray? God, I pray for this church. I pray for this community. God, as You have rescued us, as You have saved us, as You have started the process of saving, You started the process of making us whole again. You continue to cleanse us and make us more and more holy day by day. God, I pray that You would give us understanding and insight as to how to go and do outreach, as to how to share Your message of the kingdom with others, that we wouldn't get caught up in just church affairs, but we would be caught up with kingdom affairs, that we would not be a church that worries about what the world will do to the church, but we will be a church concerned about what we can do to the world. That I ask that You would send Your Holy Spirit, that You would fill each person here up with Your Spirit, that they would be anointed, that they would know Your personal commissioning of them to go out into this world, to go out into their streets, into their neighborhoods, into their pubs, into the football clubs, and share Your message in a way that brings healing and hope and restoration to this community. That this community will seek and save the lost under Your authority. As we sung earlier, that You would call them out across the water where faith might fail. That You would put the people of this church into spaces where they can only depend on You as a display to this community of you being God, of you being the light, love, and life of the world. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.